Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Today we continue with our series, The Lord Said to Me. And we're looking at the prophets in the Old Testament, and we're looking at Jeremiah at the moment. Now today we're going to be looking at something not specifically that Jeremiah was asked to do, but something that Jeremiah was asked to see. And what the Lord asks him to see relates specifically to the church as a body, but also to our life in particular. A choice that needs to be made, a direction that we need to go. And it's depicted with a simple picture. If you want to follow along, we're going to read the scripture from Jeremiah 24. We're going to start off with the first three verses. The Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very bad figs that could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "The figs, the good figs, are very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad." So that's the vision that came to Jeremiah. Two baskets set before the temple, one the first fruits that were very good, and the other bad fruits that were very bad. So what does this have to do with us? Well, when we turn to the Bible, we can see fruits mentioned throughout the Bible. If we think about the Garden of Eden, the story of Garden of Eden revolves around the fruit that was in the garden. We see fruit given as part of the sacrifices in the children of Israel. When the Lord comes, He speaks about fruit and bearing fruit. So fruit is an important image that we see throughout the Lord's Word from beginning to end, the fruit. Now if we turn to the Lord's Word and if we go to the New Testament, we will find scripture, this one's from Matthew 7, where the Lord talks more about fruit. He says, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." So this relates very well to the image that we see before us, before the temple. A basket of good fruit and a basket of bad fruit. We can see from the New Testament that the Lord is talking to us, that we need to bear fruit. The Lord goes further. Matthew 12 makes this comparison. "A good person out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil person out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things." And so here we get an idea of what the baskets of fruit are about. The good fruits are about the good treasures that come out of our hearts, and the bad fruits are the evil things that come out of our heart. So a very powerful image of the bad fruit and the good fruit, talking to each one of us about our lives, what is coming out of our hearts? Is it bad fruit or is it good fruit? Now, an interesting part of the story, if we read a little further, is that the story is about good and bad. It's about blessing and cursing. It's about those who stay in the land and those who are taken captive and taken to Babylon. But now there's an interesting twist in the story. We would think that the good fruit represents the blessed people, those who get to stay in the land of Judah, because this story is at the time of the king of Babylon, is Nebuchadnezzar, coming and taking captive the children of Israel and taking them back to work for him in his kingdom. And so you would think, well, those are blessed who get to stay in the land, and those are cursed who have to go and work in another country. But that's not how the story goes. The story actually, those who get carried away as captives are the blessed, and those who stay behind in the land are cursed. But that's not, that doesn't make sense to us. Surely those are blessed who stay in the land. And so we can see that in the story, something, the Lord is trying to show us something. That there is something deeper within the story. As I said last week, the power of the Lord's word, the holiness of the Lord's word, does not lie just in the stories that he has given us. The holiness and the power of the Lord's word is in the fact that the Lord has given his word to us, that in order for it to come down to us, it's had to come down through the heavens, and the heavens have had to accommodate that the Lord's love and wisdom, and the Lord's love and wisdom is now present in the stories of his word. So the stories of the word may appear just like a history of a people, but the Lord has designed those stories so that they carry within them a beauty, carry within them a wonder, carry within them a power that tell us about heavenly life and tell us about the Lord, about what is loving, about what is wise, in a simple story of a people. So what is the Lord trying to tell us in this story of the two baskets? What is the Lord trying to tell us? That it is blessed for those who have to leave the land. How does that relate to our spiritual life? The teachings for the new church tell us that figs, in particular, that fruit, represent those first good things that we learn about. So the good things that we learn about from our grandparents and from our parents. So we learn from our grandparents and our parents that we should respect one another, right? That we should respect our elders, that we should honor people, that we need to be helpful, that we need to care, that we need to live according to the laws of the country, right? Those are the basic good things that we are first taught. All of us have that. Our parents taught us, our grandparents taught us, churches taught us, about those simple good things that we need to do that honor and respect the people around us. How we fit into this world, how we are a part of the world. Those are the first good things that we learn from our parents. If we think about those two baskets, there are the good fruits and the bad fruits. The good figs and the bad figs. There are things that we can do that are good and things that we can do that might look good but are actually selfish. And those are the two baskets. We can do what we are told. We know what is true from the Lord's word. We know what our parents have taught us about a good life. And we can do them out of obedience. Right. We know it's right, and so we do it. Those are the good figs. But we can also, from a selfish perspective, do good things to get something in return. We all know how to manipulate. We all know how to get our way. We all know how to do something in order to get something in return. Right? It's part of our fallen nature. And so these two baskets aren't we either good or we either bad, but these are two baskets that sit within each one of us. The things that we do that we know we should do because it's right, because we've been taught. We come to church, for example. It's perhaps a family tradition. You know you should come to church. You know you should say your prayers. You know you should read the word. You know to do those things because you were taught that they were right. And you're obedient to those things. Those are the good things, the good figs. But we also do hurtful things. We use our selfishness and disguise it as good. Wolf in sheep's clothing, the Lord speaks about. We, from a selfish heart, do things to look good in other people's eyes. We want other people to honor us and respect us and to think good about us. But inside, we're just doing it for ourselves. Or we want to gain something out of it. We do something so that another person will give us something back in return. Okay. So these two baskets sit within each one of us. And we need to decide which one we're going to focus on. Which one do we want to put more energy into? The curse lies on that basket of bad figs. And the Lord's blessing lies on that basket of good figs. I want to read to you the blessing that the Lord gives. We read from verse 4. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like those good figs, so I will acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans." The Lord wants to bless the good figs in our lives, the good things in our lives. But we have a tendency to want to hold on to our selfishness. If we choose to hold on to our selfishness, we remain in the land. We don't grow. We don't go anywhere. We don't move forward in any way. We're just staying in our selfishness. We're expecting the world to give us what we want. We want people to serve us, that everything is coming inward towards me. But there's a curse on that. The Lord doesn't want ill for us. The Lord doesn't wish bad things on us. But if we choose to stay in the land, if we choose to remain in our selfishness, we create our own trouble. Let's read from verse 8. "And as the bad figs which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth, for their harm to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse, in all places where I shall drive them." So there is a curse on us. And that is, we will never be happy. That is the curse that we place on ourselves if we remain in our selfishness. We will never be happy. We will never receive enough from the Lord. We will never gain enough from people. We will always be searching for more. There will never be peace in our lives. But the Lord wants us to move out of that land. The Lord wants us to move forward in our spiritual growth. The Lord doesn't want us to remain static. The Lord loves us just as we are. That's a truth. But He wants more. There is a tendency to think, well, the Lord loves me just the way I am, therefore I do not have to change. That is false. The Lord loves you just the way you are, and He wants you to move forward. He wants you to move out of that land to a better land, to that blessing that the Lord has. So let's look at what's happening spiritually in our lives. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church, or from the heavenly doctrines. From the first reading there, Secrets of Heaven. The signification or the meaning of first fruits or the beginning of works is being those things which are the last of instruction and the first of life. the first fruits, that basket of first figs, the last thing of instruction, and the first thing of life. The Lord wants to move us into a spiritual life. The Lord wants us to move into a proper relationship with Him. Out of a state of just instruction, of just knowing what I've been taught, into a state of actually loving other people. Love is what the Lord wants for our life. And those first fruits, those doing what is good because I'm being obedient, I know this to be right, that's the first fruit, and the Lord is asking us to go with Him out into a new land. Now I want to just pause for a moment and talk about the journey that we are on as Christians. If we think about the journey as steps, the first step that we take in our journey as Christians is, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my one God of heaven and earth. That is the first step that we take on our Christian path. The second step that we take is, I believe in His Word. I believe that it is true. I believe that it teaches the way. That is the second step. And that's baptism. At that point, you're eligible for baptism. The third step, we've got to leave just the knowledge or just the words of our mouth, and we actually got to start living what the Lord says. Doing what we know to be true from the Lord's Word and living it, putting it into practice. That's the next step. But the Lord wants us to take it even further, and that step that He's trying to get us to take is to love doing what we're doing. So doing things because we know it to be right, and then doing things because we love doing what is right. We can see the love, we can see the joy, we can see the blessing of our life when we are in this second or in this last stage. But our life is a rocking backwards and forwards between these two steps. Between doing things because we know it's the right thing to do, and doing things because we love it. And then doing things because we know it's right, and then doing things because we love it. And this last step, only the Lord can do. Because it is only the Lord that can bring love into our hearts. It's only the Lord who changes our heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. But we've got to have done the first works. We've got to have done the first fruits, doing things out of obedience because we know it's correct, we know it's right. And then the Lord takes us out of that state of life and wants to introduce us into a new state of life. But if we think about the children of Israel being taken out of Jerusalem into another land, that's not easy. You being uprooted, and now you're going to work hard, you're going to struggle in a land that you do not know. Our path to the Lord, our path to spiritual life, our path to being born again, our path to regeneration has struggle. I want to read to you from the Teachings for the New Church, that second reading from Secrets of Heaven 7906. Conflict takes place especially when a person's state undergoes a change, moving out of the land to a new land. That is to say, when his actions begin to spring from the good of charity, from a love for other people, and not as previously from the truths of faith. So the truths of our faith only get us so far. And the Lord takes us the rest of the way. But we've got to have done our part first to live according to the truths of our faith. For a person's state is not yet made pure while his actions spring from the truths of faith. So just because we know the truth does not save us. Just because we know the Lord does not save us. Okay? We're not pure yet. But they have been made pure when they spring from good of charity or the love for the neighbor. Since they now spring from our will, from our heart, we want to love our neighbor. Previously, they sprang merely from our understanding. So a shift from our mind to our heart, from what we know to be true to a wanting to do what the Lord asks us to do. The next reading after that, natural good, these first fruits, save no one. But spiritual good, that next step, doing things from love, when our hearts are good, when the treasures in our hearts are good, and things come out of that good treasure, that saves us. The reason is that good, which is formed through the truths of faith, is a plane into which heaven can flow. So we first got to have those truths of faith. We first got to be doing the basics. We first got to be obedient. That's the plane. That's the foundation into which the Lord can then flow with His love. That is the Lord through heaven and leads man and withholds him from evil and afterwards lifts him up into heaven. But not so natural good. And therefore they who are in natural good can be as easily carried away by falsities as by truth, provided that the falsities appear in the form of truth. And they can be easily led away by evils as by good, provided that the evil is presented as good. They are like feathers in the wind. So the truths of faith are our first important step, living according to them, being obedient to the Lord, doing what He asks, trying to live the life that He calls us to. But we can't stay there, because that can be, we can be led this way or that way, depending on what truth we hear. We can be led this way and that way, to evil or to good. The Lord asks us to go with Him to a new place, but it's going to require suffering and conflict. Okay? Anybody here live an easy life? Anybody's life here without conflict? Anybody's life here without grief? No. Our natural life is a life of conflict, of hardship, and along with that is our spiritual life also with conflict and with struggle. We struggle with natural things. We struggle with the loss of a loved one. We struggle with the loss of a job. We struggle with relationships and fighting and being alone. We struggle with all sorts of natural problems in this world. And what the hells love to do is to piggyback along with those things. Our spiritual life is separate from our natural life. But when we are down about something in this world, when we are struggling to find a job, for example, on a spiritual level, the hells love to jump onto that and to say, well, your prayers didn't work, did they? The Lord doesn't really love you, does He? Otherwise, He would have made a plan. He would have a job by now. Those are the evil spirits that come to tempt us to give up on the truths that we know, because we know the Lord loves us. We know the Lord is always with us. We know the Lord is always trying to give us heavenly gifts. And the things of this world, we're at the mercy of other people. But as to our spiritual life, we can trust in the Lord that He has all things in His hand. And so as we go through the difficulties of life, we go through the struggles and temptations in our spiritual life to give up on the Lord, to doubt Him, to say that He doesn't really love us, that He doesn't really care. But that's the struggle that the Lord calls us to as we journey to a new land. Because if we can hold on during those struggles, if we can hold on to the truth that the Lord does love me, even though I don't feel loved at the moment, but if I can hold on to that truth, then the Lord can strengthen us. We will come out the other side and we will have strength, be strong in our faith, but also grow in our love for the Lord. If we give up during those temptations, if we give up and we doubt about the Lord, we doubt about His presence, we doubt that He has a plan for us, we doubt about heaven, then we remain in the land. The Lord asks us to struggle, to face the hardships, to go with Him on this journey. But it requires us to stand strong in those true things that we have been taught, to stand strong in them, to hold on to them through the difficult times, so that when we come out the other side, the Lord is closer to us. The Lord has been able to draw nearer to us. The Lord has been able to remold and reshape our hearts to bring in love, that now we have a deeper trust in Him. We have a deeper love for Him because we can see on the other side, He was with us. He was caring for us. He does love us. And so this simple story of two baskets of fruit, one bad and one good, speaks to each one of us and our journey that we are on. To leave behind the selfish things and to go on a journey with the Lord, a journey that will be difficult, a journey that will be hard. But if we stick, if we have a good foundation of obedience to the Lord, then we have everything that we need to journey with the Lord into a new phase, a new state, a new land in our lives. Amen.